So let's read Isaiah 35, just the first seven verses, I think. I'll read them through. The Lord is going to transform and renew this earth that will become like the Garden of Eden before the fall. Think about that. So let's read Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, that's Israel, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, that's very fertile fruit-growing area even today. They shall see the glory of the Lord. So we're only talking about the millennium there, aren't we? The excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there should be grass with reeds and rushes. Let's read the first part of verse 8. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Those earlier verses is a promise of the Lord. We can see it even happening in Israel today. But it goes beyond our day, when the second coming of the Lord, first, as we read earlier in the book of Revelation, the Lord is coming with vengeance to recompense against the sin of the world, its godlessness, its rebellion, all that we've looked at in Revelation so far, and that he will come and save the nation remnant of Israel. Then, see that word then in verse 5? Then comes the change. Then comes the transformation. Then comes the renewal of Israel, physically, health-wise, and of course his international rule as well over the whole earth. Now we know when Jesus came the first time, let's put this in quickly, that he did give sight to the blind. He did give hearing to the deaf. The lame were healed, but only briefly, because many were not healed and restored to fullness of life, only a few. When he comes again, this will include everyone that needs this touch from the Lord. That's important. So even here, we're going to turn to other parts in Isaiah in a moment and really look at the verses, because this is a section of scripture which is never preached in nearly every evangelical church. They don't believe in the millennium for a start. They don't believe that the Lord will come and transform this earth and be king of Israel. They don't believe that either. So I'm going to look at these scriptures and let the scriptures prove themselves what the Lord is saying. So even here, there's a glowing picture of what the Lord will do. And it comes through many of the prophets, not just here in Isaiah. We look at others too. We find the desert blossoming, the mountains yielding springs of water. And the desert, well, there's a difference, by the way, between a desert and a wilderness. I may have said this before. In a desert, all it needs water. In the wilderness, you can do nothing. It's just absolutely dead land. All that wilderness by the Dead Sea is just dead land. But the Lord's going to change it. All you need in the desert is water, because it's fertile, but there's no water. And you can see developments in the land of Israel today. They're just bringing water down from Galilee, pumping it all day down with the pumps in North Galilee. So we've looked at Isaiah 35. Now let's go back and deal with some in order. Go back to chapter 11 of Isaiah, please. We're going to stay with Isaiah for a little while and let the scriptures speak for themselves and giving us a picture of this transformed, renewed earth to become like the Garden of Eden, which is in Ezekiel. Back to chapter 11. Now verses 1 and 2 speaks of the Lord Jesus in his person, and indeed what he did when he came the first time, and he read these scriptures in the synagogue in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. So let's go down to verse 6 of Isaiah 11. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Here is a complete transformation in the animal kingdom, which is obvious, isn't it? Even little child shall be amongst these formerly very much wild beasts. The cow and the bear shall graze. Verse 7, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So there again they become vegetarians, which they were before in Noah's day. They didn't eat raw meat.
This is in the millennium, yeah?
This is in the millennium, yes, very much so. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. Formerly a very dangerous thing to do. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The mountain, as I said last week, is a kingdom. All is holy kingdom. Isaiah 35 says there shall be a new highway there, and it will be a holy highway. And the Lord is back in all his holiness. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, verse 9, as the waters cover the sea. Well, we read about that. We sung about that just now, didn't we? Right, so let's move on to another chapter, please, in Isaiah chapter 30. Chapter 30. We'll try and take them in numerical order. Chapter 30 of Isaiah. Read a couple of verses there. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 23 and 24. This is how the Lord is going to deal with the desert areas of the earth, in which there are many. And there are any desert areas that are going to be in Israel, which there's some. Chapter 30 of Isaiah, verse 23 and 4. Then he will give the rain for your seed, with which you sow the ground, and the bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plenteous. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise the oxen and the young donkeys that work ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and the fan. Verse 25 will read, there will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of water, as it's going to be. I know it says the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall, that is the judgment of God as he comes again, but there will be the transformed earth. In other words, there will be plenty of food for animals, for people, no starvation at all. And there will be great agricultural transformation changes physically on the earth and for animals as well as human beings.
Don't will we still eat meat?
Don't know. We may not, we won't need to eat at all actually in new bodies. We don't know. Go on to chapter 41, please. We'll try and take them in order. Who
will
is here?
Will this happen immediately or will it be transformed over a period of time?
How long did it take creation? 6 days. He may do it in one, because he hasn't got to create the stars or the sun or the moon. He hasn't got to create light. It's already here. He'd probably do it immediately. Chapter 41. Pardon?
It just speak the word and that we done.
That's what it was in the beginning. Chapter 41, verses 18 to 20. I will open rivers in desolate heights, barren areas, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, like Isaiah 35, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Well, that is self-explanatory, isn't it? Tremendous agricultural transformation there. Okay, let's go on to chapter 55. In Isaiah, chapter 55. Two verses again, the last two. Isaiah 55, 12 and 13.
Isaiah is not chronological at all, then it's
no, the prophets very often are not. They go backwards and forwards. Yeah, prophets are like that.
That's verse what, sorry?
12 and 13. For you shall go out with joy, and don't you know this? and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
We sang that last week.
Indeed. Yeah. Instead of the thorn, that was a result of sin coming, wasn't it? The thorns and the thistles.
So when that is said, what does it mean, really, and all the trees of the field shall clap?
There's going to be rejoising in the natural agricultural world.
But I mean, that,
literally, you mean?
That is not literal, is it?
Wait and see.
I like to
think it is. Let's wait and see. Well, when you see that the mountains and the hills will break forth into singing, you know, I've said before this, because of all the bloodshed on the earth, this earth could scream if we could hear it. But when the blessings come and the cleansing comes and renewing comes, transformation comes, don't you think there'll be joy? It's his creation, I know.
It's all the flowers that will be singing.
Absolutely. They'll be shining in wonderful fragrance as well.
As you say, going back to the time
yeah.
of the garden,
yeah.
everything was
yeah. 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 Instead of the thorn, you see, where the thistles come up, shall come up the cypress tree. That is a tree of beauty. Long, slender green tree. Familiar in Israel today, but it's a tree of evergreen beauty. The cypress tree.
There might be even things that don't even exist today then.
Yeah. They did exist once.
Yeah.
And instead of the briar, like the thorn, shall come up the myrtle tree. The myrtle is Hadassah, which is Esther's real name, Hadassah. Yeah. And it means blessing.
Yes.
The myrtle is blessing. Blessing abundance in his millennial reign. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Because following the millennium will be the new earth and the new heaven, in which dwells total righteousness. As we know, we'll get there.
But that, sorry, isn't that when everything is changed in, when, at the end of the thousand
years? Well, it'll just go on. About. It'll just merge, you see, because after the millennium, there's the great white throne judgment,
yeah.
then the creation of the new earth and the new heaven. So that is going to be that brief change. New we earth, shan't see that.
New heaven, new earth, that's the last thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the last made. Thing. That's it. The last yeah. thing. That's the last part of creation. That's
no
right.
more sea.
No more sea.
What does that mean?
Well, the sea, if you look around you today, how troublesome that yeah, is and uncontrollable that is. But the sea also means the Gentiles, spiritually yeah. speaking, symbolically speaking. The sea means the Gentiles in the book of Revelation. But you take the sea literally, it's always restless on the move. So is Gentile humanity. Picture them both together. Yeah. Chapter 61, go on to there, please. You're familiar with chapter 61? 61. Isaiah 61. Jesus takes up this word, of course, that he claimed in the synagogue in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, verse 1, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, like Isaiah 35, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And in the synagogue, Jesus didn't read on further.
No.
Because the day of vengeance of our God was not then, but it will come. That's the tribulation period. Now go on into the last part of verse 2. This is what we call a great parenthesis in Scripture. Between one part of a verse and the following part of the verse can be a huge gap in time. 2,000 years, the church age, which is a mystery unknown to the prophet. He said that before. So look at the end of verse 2, to comfort all who mourn. Who's that? The Jewish people. How they've mourned the centuries in suffering. Anti-Semitism. To console those who mourn in Zion. So focusing on Zion. Zion is the nation of Israel. People, the land, and Zion is also Jerusalem in Scripture. So this relates to those who mourn in Zion, in Jerusalem, and the land of Israel, the people, to give them beauty for ashes, and my known ashes, holocaust. Holocaust means burnt offering. Wow. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that it may be glorified. Wonderful. And you could read on there quite a bit. We won't do that now. But the rebuilding that goes on, In verse 5, feeding flocks. Even foreigners, Gentiles, should be the plowmen and vine dressers. But you should be named the priests of the Lord, verse 6. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. In their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Because the Lord is their king. Amazing verses. That's the renewed, transformed earth. Population, Israel. We should be back with them as well, of course. Look in one verse in chapter 65. Only one verse. Chapter 65 and verse 25. We saw this in chapter 11, where it's repeated, because it's a millennial scene, but also the new heaven and the new earth. Now that's in verse 17, but here it speaks of the millennium, because in the millennium it says in verse 20 that the child will die 100 years old. That won't happen in the new earth and new heaven, but this is a renewed earth. Verse 17, certainly created. Verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain, my holy kingdom, says the Lord. That's his word. Wonderful, isn't it? Now there are other prophets who speak like this as well. Hosea does, Amos does, Ezekiel does, Jeremiah does, and the New Testament does as well, following all up.